Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Welcome to Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is our legal topics episode, and we're going to be discussing co-op finances. And now here, as always, is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you, Jason. And tonight, as you mentioned, we're talking about the riveting topic of co-op financial statements and why we plan in the future to have a CPA on to give us even a drier look at this topic. I, and along with you, we're going to muddle through this topic and try to give our listeners a little idea of what to look for in financial statements, what the layperson should look for. Of course, with co-ops, you ultimately will retain an attorney to assist you with the purchase, and part of that attorney's job is to obtain the financials, give you a little bit of a review of them, and see if there are any big black marks against the co-op. So let me begin. Jason, when was the last time you were a co-op owner? When was the last time you got a financial statement?
Yesterday, actually. We had our annual shareholders meeting late in the year. Usually we have them in the summer. But since we switched management agencies, we had ours yesterday, and we got our financials and the CPA that works with our building came and he presented this nice, spiffy 10 or 11-page document.
Exactly, yes.
With a load of numbers, a lot of line items, a lot of a lot of things underlined and in parentheses.
They dazzle you with numbers and footnotes, and you are left to somehow decipher what all of this means. And, of course, probably without your own forensic accountant, it's whatever you can make of it, what your attorney can make of it, although your attorney has a better idea of what the numbers should look like, but yet still he or she is not a financial, you know, a forensic accountant to be able to dig behind these numbers. So, yes, it is a little bit overwhelming. But there is one, note I do want to make. Generally, when you buy a co-op, you obtain financing. And the lender is going to look at two entities to determine whether or not to make your loan. The one entity is you. They're going to make sure you have a job, you haven't been delinquent, you have good credit, et cetera, et cetera. And they're going to look at the building's finances. After all, the bank is partner in most cases. and banks are not in the business, at least recently, of throwing money away. So banks will either review if they're not familiar with the building, or they will have the building on what they call the approved list. The approved list means that they've looked at these financials and they've approved them and approved the building based on them and some other criteria, but they don't need every type. There's a transaction in the building to review the financials. What you'll want to hear, at least from your lender's perspective, is that this building is on the approved list. And so then you will also have these yearly, you will get a financial statement. For some reason, you got yours in October. Generally, they come out around April and May. Even that seems a little on the late side, because people who are buying before April or May are relying on financials from 2 years ago. And, of course, anything could have happened in the meantime in the building in the last year, but there is sort of a leap of faith in that nothing horrible has happened between the prior 2 years and last year. So if you are buying in the late winter, early spring, you're probably going a little bit on the financials of 2 years ago. So in any event, you end up getting every unit owner is entitled, apartment owner is entitled to a copy of the financials, as well as, you know, that the board hold an annual meeting. But if you don't go to the annual meeting, at least you will get a financial statement. And as you said, it's about 11 pages of razzle-dazzle and a lot of numbers and a lot of notes and things of that nature. But the first thing we probably look for is that the financial statements have been audited by a CPA firm. And that usually happens in most moderate to large buildings. Occasionally, when you get to a small building where you have maybe six co-op units, these things may be unaudited, and that's generally a little cheaper, and there are differences in the types of reports, you know, that are generated. But an unaudited report is probably not as good as an audited report. But once again, smaller co-ops will opt to save some money by getting it unaudited. And then you come to the part in the auditor's letter. The auditor, of course, writes a cover letter and puts in an opinion. And the opinion, everybody opinion to say something like, this is a really good co-op, or stay away from this co-op. It's the finances are horrible. But all the opinion really says is that everything was done in accordance with accounting rules and income taxes, and everything is fairly stated. So we're all expecting the accountant to say this is a great building, and all they're really saying is that everything has been fairly stated. So they sign off on that, and then they give you a balance sheet. That's the first part of where the numbers are. So the first part of your financials is the cover letter from the CPA firm. Second part is a lot of numbers. The third part we'll get to in a few moments is notes. But the first page really of where the numbers start are the assets. And things you might want to look for is how much cash they have on hand and how much reserve fund they have on hand. That's important, you know, in case the co-op does hit some rocky financial periods, that they don't have to go and ask the shareholders for some more money, you know, in order to pay their bills. So you want to see a relatively healthy, you know, cash position. Now, I tell clients of mine, co-ops are really no different than individuals. You know, we should all have a cash reserve somewhere, you and I as individuals, Jason. But do we? Probably not. And what do? When we get hit with a big bill, we scramble, may put on a credit card, may try to take out a small loan, borrow from friends or relatives, you know, take money from a fund that we had designated for something else. And sometimes co-ops are also like that, and the reserve fund tends to be a bit on the tight side. But I also tell my clients who are buying into co-ops, look, it's your money that's in the reserve fund. If you all decide not to put a lot of money in there, there's more money in your pocket, less money in the co-op's reserve fund, or vice versa, put more money in the reserve fund, less money in your pocket. It depends upon the you know, the fiscal attitudes of the board of directors of the public. So that page pretty much is all assets, and you'll see, you know, numbers at the bottom, 10 million, 15 million, 5 million. So it looks pretty impressive. Of course, we all know that with every asset there's a liability, and generally the big liability, that's the next page of the financial statements, talks about the underlying mortgage. And there's a distinguishing. When you talk about mortgages, the purchaser will get their own mortgage on for their apartment, but there will also be an underlying mortgage on the whole property. And this mortgage was put on probably when the building became a co-op. The corporation bought the building from the developer or the original owner, and put a large mortgage on the property in order to buy out, you know, the owner. That mortgage pretty much stays forever. It's generally for maybe a term of 10 years, although it's amortized over 30 years. Amortized means that the payout is based upon 30 years maybe. But then every 10 years you have to refinance it with refinancing costs. You know, could run $50,000 to $100,000, depending on the loan, the new loan charges, or maybe there are some old loan charges too, and getting out of the old mortgage, and that you'll do for another 10 years. So it always seems that the mortgage stays on the property, just gets revolved, and it just stays revolving. But of course, as the property values go up, you know, a $10 million loan on a $50 million building, or $75 million building, you know, it, over the years, it become, in a percentage, it becomes a lot smaller. So you look at the liability page, you really want to see, you know, what the mortgage amount is. Then you get to, I think, a pretty important page that talks about revenues and expenses. And about the top half of that page generally talks about the income they get from people paying their maintenance. And maybe there may be some fees from garage rentals or storage, late fees, things of that nature, laundry, and things of that nature. And you add all of that up, and that's your income. Then begins your expenses. You know, some of your big expenses are mortgage interest, real estate taxes on the whole building. Those are usually pretty hefty expenses, operating expenses, you know, paying labor and things of that nature, and electric and gas and heat and fuel. That could also be a pretty big number. So you get to the point where revenues minus expenses, you get your income, and hopefully it's in the black, and hopefully it's larger than the year before. And what I did not point out, at least on the assets and the income pages, is that there will be a comparison between the current year and the prior year, and hopefully in the comparison everything will look, you know, a little better. Now, so far, Jason, have you performed this study on the papers you got yesterday?
We did go through. Yes, we did go through all of these little tidbits, and you know, we grilled our CPA on some of the items. And being an owner, I know some of the little hidden charges, but if I was a prospective buyer and I was coming into a building and I was looking at these financial statements, is there any way to detect some little red flags where maybe the financials look good in 2015, but we've got some expenses coming up in 2016 or payments that we're spreading out into 2016 that might, for an incoming buyer, might mean that they're faced with an assessment or something?
Well, and there you get to the third part of the financials, which are the notes, and sometimes they, you know, mention issues that are coming up in the future. Many times they don't. You would need to examine things like words like assessments and things of that nature. If assessments were done, assessment is generally a short-term charge for a specific issue like fixing the concrete, putting on a new roof, fixing the elevator, pointing, stuff like that. If there were assessments, that may point to a work that was already done and hopefully already paid for. So if you are the new buyer, at least you'll go into a building saying, oh, they just replaced the roof and they just replaced the boiler, too very large, or they just pointed the building and had some local law inspection done to make sure that, you know, the facade and everything was up to snuff. So that's, if you see those and can determine that those were done already and paid for, that's a good thing. Occasionally assessments will run over. The project can be completed, but the assessments will run forward, so you will be paying for some repairs that may have been done, you know, in the past. But sometimes the notes don't spell that out, you know, all that clearly. The one thing I like to look for in notes is the note on the underlying mortgage. Generally, it'll say things like, we just refinanced with such and such bank in 2015 for 10 years at 4%, and you'll see from prior statements that maybe your mortgage was 6%, so you know you've achieved some savings. But it also costs money to borrow money, so there'll be a chunk of money that you know, that will you know, that will be spent in getting you know, the new loan. So that's a big thing, that mortgage payable clause. You may also see some notes about the sponsors still being involved in the building. Now, you know, a building becomes a co-op. Well, you don't see too many buildings becoming co-ops anymore. They are what they are. But at one point, there were an apartment building owned by a couple people who decided to make it a co-op, sold off the units. Maybe they didn't sell off all the units. Maybe they couldn't sell them off. Maybe they wanted to keep them for whatever financial reason. And over the years, they do sell them off. But you'll also get some information about who the sponsors are, what percentage of proper, you know, the apartments that they own, and you know, so you'll get an idea of what percentage is privately owned by individuals, and what percentage is owned by the sponsor. Generally, the less owned by the sponsor, the better. On the theory of, you know, you spread your eggs, you know, among several baskets, rather than the sponsor having a lot of eggs in his basket or her basket. So that's an important point too. There may also be notes about real estate tax abatements that there were, that they're not going to have anymore, or any type of a change in the employee benefits. Benefits and prices only go up with, you know, pensions and medical stuff. So those are all things that are, put in the notes. There is one section, this is also similar to where the CPA announced his opinion paragraph, where you think you're going to get an opinion that the place is good or bad. There's also a note that also talks about future major repairs. And, of course, everybody thinks, wow, they're going to tell me, you know, is the elevator going to be fixed? Is the roof going to be repaired? And all of it really says is that we don't, know what repairs are going to be done in the future and their cost. So that's a little bit of a disappointing, paragraph also. And if you've managed to keep yourself awake through all of this, that really ends up to be, the long and the short of a financial statement and things you want to look for. You want to look for audited statements. You want to look for some cash and some reserve funds. You want to look for a positive income. And you want to look for a mortgage that's relatively new, has a long term on it left, so that you don't have to get, incur the cost of refinancing the underlying mortgage, and whatever tidbits you can pick up from the notes. So there's a little bit of digging that's involved here, and I urge buyers of co-ops to review the prospectuses themselves, to get familiar, and then engage the services of an attorney who's knowledgeable about co-ops, and also knowledge or a CPA who's knowledgeable to interpret the financial pages. And ultimately, you want to ask your bank, since they're going to be your 80% partner, whether the building is on their approved list, meaning the bank believes that the co-op has pretty firm underlying financials. So in the end, that's what you got along. So that's a part of what we call due diligence. There's also other parts to due diligence, which we can discuss on a later show. But the review of the financial pages is probably one of the bigger things that should be done when anybody decides they're going to buy a co-op.
And with that, we come to the end of another Legal Topics episode, and we've been looking back, as we will now, kind of coming into our portion of the year. We're going to be examining some different financials from real estate, and this one being co-op financials. And as Bob mentioned, we're going to be bringing a guest to dig even deeper into how to understand the financials of a co-op and your the statements you're going to be dealing with. And as always, Bob, why don't you take us out?
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to Jason for bringing up this Legal Topics show of reviewing financials in a co-op setting. This is House New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people, wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.